Hi, I'm Father Michael, the pastor of Saints Cosmas and Damien and spiritual director for Hope's Garden. Today, I'd like to tell you a little bit about my vocation story. So when I was a little boy, I apparently wrote in my diary that I wanted to become a priest. About fifth or sixth grade, I realized that the girls in my class didn't want to dance with the priest wannabe. So I changed my mind. I decided I wanted to be a businessman like my dad. I went on to high school, and when I was in high school, I went on a retreat my junior year. It was a retreat that went out camping out in the wilderness, and I remember seeing a billion stars in the sky. And it was at that time that, looking at stars that I had never seen in that quantity before, I felt very small. And praying by myself, I said, "Lord, who am I that you would even pay attention to me underneath the vastness of the universe?" And I heard deep down in my heart, "You are my beloved." I was so shocked, I thought somebody might be there, but nobody was there. And so I just realized who it was. God spoke to my heart. I didn't tell anyone on the retreat what I had been thinking about, what had happened in that prayer. But at the end of the retreat, I was voted most likely to become a priest, apparently just from the conversations we were having about other things. And I wondered, had they known about the prayer or about my diary when I was a little boy? I decided to push this idea out of my mind. I went on to college. At first, I was studying at the University of Dayton, and then I transferred over to John Carroll University, where I was studying accounting. It was at that time that my grandfather came to live with us. His wife, my grandmother, had passed away. My grandfather, you have to understand, was not a man of many words. In fact, we called him Grandpa Mute. Though he was perfectly capable of speaking, he just preferred not to. I'd say, "Hi, Grandpa. How you doing? Where's Mom? See you later." Sometimes he would rattle a jar of candies at my direction, which I figured meant, "I love you." Well, now that he was at the last stage of his life and coming to live with us, and very much in need of care, my mom and I did most of the caring for him. And he suddenly opened up, began to tell me things that not even my father had heard about. All kinds of things about his growing up and the farm. And one day he was crying. And he said to me, "Michael, I believe your grandmother is in heaven. She was a good Catholic. She went to church every week. I know, because I took her and I waited in the parking lot. I want to see her again. How do I get to heaven?" So here I was at 20 years old at probably the most important question anybody's ever asked me. And I thought, well, after all this schooling, and especially from Catholic schools, I should definitely know the answer to this. But I fumbled. And I just kind of blurted out, "Jesus, yeah, that's the ticket. You need Jesus." And he nodded his head and said, "All right, how do I get in good with Jesus?" Baptism, right? That's the normal way we do it. We normally go through baptism. And he says, "That sounds good. Why don't you call the priest? I want to be baptized." So at 89 years old, my grandfather had asked to officially be baptized. I realized when his health was deteriorating, we didn't have long. So when he ended up in the hospital, we called the priest and the whole family. We went right to the hospital. We performed the baptism right there in the hospital bed. When the priest was there, the priest was not known to be an eloquent man. In his own words, he only gave two good homilies his whole life. But my grandfather loved this man because he felt like he wasn't trying to sell him anything. He wasn't trying to dupe him. He was sincere. That's all he needed. And as he gave baptism, he poured water up my grandfather's head right there in the bed. Then he gave him confirmation with the holy oils, and he gave him a holy communion. He said, "The body of Christ." And my grandfather said, "Okay," which is about as sincere amen as I ever heard. Well, at this moment, I wondered, what I was visualizing, what I was seeing, what was presented to me, was it a miracle? It was later that I would learn that my father, when he made his first communion, was told by the nuns that he could ask for anything on his first communion day and God would give that to him. And he had decided the sisters didn't know what they were talking about, because what he had asked for was that his father would be baptized. And here it was many years later, and the miracle finally happened. But miracles happen in three. Suddenly the curtain in the hospital went flying open and there's a bed on the other side of the room and there's a patient in the other bed and he yelled over at us, "Did you just baptize that old man? My family's been bugging me for years. Send that priest over here." I mean, he had been a Catholic for like 3 minutes. He already had a convert. But then the third miracle is at that moment I heard deep down in my heart, "Why don't you want to be a priest?" And I was struck and I kind of was like looking around like anybody else hearing that, but they weren't. They were paying attention to Grandpa and the other person on the other side of the room. And I felt very isolated, very alone in that moment. I thought, okay, this is a funny imagination happening, right? I went home, I went to bed. That night I couldn't sleep at all. I just kept tossing and turning with the question, "Why don't you want to be a priest?" The next day I went to school, I went to work, and I came home and I was very tired. So I crawled into bed and grabbed onto my pillow and huddled myself up. And I heard, "Why don't you want to be a priest?" Oh no. Tossing and turning for now the second night in a row, not a wink of sleep. The next day I go to school, I go to work, I crawl up the stairs to get to my bed, and as I find myself finally under the covers, I hear, "Why don't you want to be a priest?" At this point, I was a little upset. So I jumped out of bed, and I stood next to my bed, and I literally looked up at the sky and said, "Okay, all right, fine. I'll go look at the seminary where they study to become priests. But if I don't like it, I'm going home. Deal? Can I finally get some sleep?" And I slept better that night than any time in my life. The next morning, I went to my mom and I said, "Well, I don't know how to say this, but I think God wants me to be a priest." And being a good Irish mother, she burst into tears of joy and said, "Let's go tell my mom, my other grandmother." I wasn't sure what to do at that point, so I started looking into different communities and I found myself at the seminary studying to be a diocesan priest. When I announced that I was going to be going, my family was there at the Thanksgiving table. And everybody got quiet with the announcement. And finally, one of them said, "Can I have your room?" The other one said, "Can I have your car?" The other one said, "Can I have your girlfriend?" I said, "Okay, you're going to have to talk to her about that. I don't think that's something I can do, but obviously I can't take these things with me." And off I would go. My father didn't speak to me for about 3 days. All he said to me was, "Well, you're going to have to get good grades." And for a while, he really thought about what he would say. Finally, he came to me and he says, "Let me get this straight. You want to run this organization, right? You want to be the Pope." I said, No. I just feel called to be a priest." He says, "Well, I tell you what, why don't you take a semester off of school? You come with me. I got business to do in Asia. You get to see what the business world is like. You get to travel the world. And if at the end of that, you really consider it, really think about it, if you still want to go to the seminary, you'll have my blessing." So that's what we did. It was a great trip because my father was teaching like 6 hours a day and he was teaching about finance. So during the evening, he really had to save his voice. He wasn't allowed to say anything, which was the best relationship I ever had with a man. I got to just tell him everything in my heart. And at the end, I was more convinced than ever. I'm going to the seminary. My grandfather, on the other hand, unbeknownst to me, said to my mom, "You know, I don't think I could live without Michael." God, in his goodness, took my grandfather to eternity the night before I left for the seminary. And I was always and will always be so grateful to the Lord for his kindness. When I got to the seminary, it's not like you join the seminary and like you become a priest. I mean, I knew it was a long process, 7 years. One of the big questions, as my brother had brought up at Thanksgiving, was the ex-girlfriend. Well, when I was in high school and in my first couple of years in college, I was dating a girl from Spain. And she started off as an exchange student in the United States, and so I knew her here. And then the long-distance relationship just didn't work. But when I had finally received my papers of acceptance to the seminary, who calls me? The ex-girlfriend. She says, I just moved to New York. Now, New York compared to Madrid sounded like next door. So I remember taking the phone and go, could you hold on a second? This is so not funny. Will you just make up your mind? You know, the seminary is about discernment. And this is a big part of it. Is God calling me to be a husband, to be a father? And I actually really good with kids. I think I would have been a good dad. I think I would have been a good husband. But I suppose the same kind of people that would be good husbands and good dads probably would be good priests. The question really is, what did God want me to do? I ended up just taking my time with the discernment and came to the realization that God really was calling me. He was nurturing me. He was protecting me. He was developing me. And I have no regrets. In fact, the closer I got to ordination, the more convinced I was this wasn't my imagination. This wasn't my idea. This was his. And it's a good plan. As I got ordained, I thought at that point, now I'm a priest and my vocation discernment is over. Oh, how wrong I was. You know, part of the nice thing about being a priest is the bishop just tells you where to go. And he sends me out to Painesville. And I started working with Mexicans. They said, we know you speak Spanish. You dated that girl back in high school. Why don't you go on over and use the Spanish? And, you know, God, mysterious ways, right? He uses even those gifts. But things started developing. All of a sudden, I got in my heart, what about going down to the missions in El Salvador? I said, no way. They got huge spiders as big as your hand. But I told God, you know what? I've learned I better just listen to you. So if you want me to go, I don't want to go. You better make it abundantly clear. On that day that I made that prayer, three different people came up to me and said, you know, you'd be a good missionary. Do you ever think about going to the missions? I hear they need missionaries. Any chance? I couldn't believe that. And so I just came to accept, all right, I'll go. I figured to myself, well, if God calls me, God's going to protect me. Everything will work out. And I got down there and I was there for about a month when I realized, you know what? God never said he was going to protect me. Never said that. I said that to give myself courage to get on that plane. I realized better people than me had died in the missions. And now I had to ask the question, if God asked me to give my life for this mission, would I do it? And I came to the conclusion, trembling when I did, yes, I would give my life for this mission. I was quite surprised when I survived. And then I ended up in Twinsburg, Ohio. And I met Laura Ercolino and all the different people working with you. I still believe that God's calling me, stirring my heart. And I realized that most of the time I thought about how he was developing me for the future, but probably he was thinking more about you. He was thinking, I need to get someone there for you. So I just need a few people to say yes, and then I'll put you where I need you, and I'll give you the tools you need. And so I trust him. He loves you. And he sends me with that message. And I accept this mission.